This one right here. This one's on, isn't it? All right. Now, what I want you to do right now is turn around and shake somebody's hand and tell them this. You're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. Be all right without that little microphone, aren't we? Praise the name of the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. What a privilege it is once again to be in the house of the Lord. Service here Wednesday night. How many of you were here? How many of you enjoyed Brother John Horn yet? He blessed our heart, didn't he? Amen. Brother John, God bless you. You certainly blessed our heart here on Wednesday night. Well, tonight's another night. Brother Tim Burdett's here to bring us the word of the Lord. They're going to be singing for us. He's going to be preaching. And I know that, well, we're just going to have a good time here tonight. In spite of what the devil would like to think or try to put his little scheme in, we're going to have church here tonight. We're going to have victory in the Lord here tonight. Sing your verse and let's sing that chorus one more time. Let's do this. Let's manifest Christ tonight. Can we do that? The love of Christ will drive out every care, every problem, every worry, if we'll get the love of Christ.
Oh, let us know His presence. Let sounds of praises fill the air. Oh, let us sing of Jesus' love to people everywhere.
Sometimes it's hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes it's just praise. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look at our prayer request. If you don't care to stand with me just for a minute, Sister Boone wants to thank her church family for the food, cards, calls, most of all for all of your prayers. Her brain scan was okay. She is doing much better. Somebody say praise the Lord. I want to pray for Sister Erica Parker tonight. She is sick, unable to be in the service tonight. We'll remember Joel Vickery from Kentucky, very weak in body and suffering every day. So we want to remember that prayer request tonight. Please pray for Brother Tom Horniak, sick, unable to be in the service tonight. Please pray for Sister Lynn Ogles for an unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. I want to pray for Sister Anna Altland, not feeling well in body tonight. Let's pray for her. Sister Christine Ogles, who is suffering from high blood pressure, she's asking that we remember her. Eddie Jablonska's father, going through some difficult times right now. They're asking that we would remember him. I want to pray for Sister Judy Dyer, home with a bad cough and a sore throat. Olga Holmes needs prayer. She's been diagnosed with thyroid cancer and cyst on her kidneys. So they're asking that we would remember that need tonight. Brother Gary wants us to remember Sister Lona in prayer. She is in a lot of pain in her back. So let's pray for her tonight. I want to remember a friend of Sister Ruth Jacks in prayer, that the Lord would be mindful of them. Sister Irene Pierce says to please pray for my husband, Mike Pierce. He's having a lot of chest pain and kidney problems. Thank you and may God bless. This is Sister Victoria Butt from Newfoundland, Canada. They're asking that we would pray for a little pet of hers that's just not doing good. And we believe the Lord's concerned about little things like that. So we'll just commit that unto the Lord. Sister Teresa White says to please remember her dad, Charles Sims, in prayer as he goes back to the VA on Monday for more tests. We just pray that all those things will be to his good and will work out. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we believe we're serving a God that can answer prayer, don't we? Certainly we do. We just love Him. Somebody say praise the Lord. Just before we pray over these requests tonight, let's just sing the little chorus thanks. Let's thank Him for what He has done, for what He is going to do, and for what He's doing right now. Somebody say hallelujah. We want to say thanks, thanks. I give You thanks for all You've done. Oh, I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Thanks, thanks, I give You thanks. Oh, all You've done. Oh, I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I want to give You thanks. One more time, we want to say thanks. You've done. I am so blessed. Praise the Lord. Brother Brad Johnson, I want you to come tonight, if you would. Brother Brad, come and pray over these requests. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service tonight. Commit all these needs unto our Lord tonight. Love you, buddy. God bless you.
Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity we have to come in your house tonight, God. Father, we just pray that you just be with us tonight, Lord, to speak to us the words that you have us to hear. Lord, you see the request I hold in my hand. Lord, we know that none is too great for you. We just pray, God, you move according to each one, according to your perfect will. Lord, I pray that you to heal the sick, God, save the lost, and fill us with the Holy Ghost and refill every one of us, Lord. We pray that you be with Brother Tim. Lord, may you just anoint him, help him to step aside and get us out of the way that we receive. We just give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You give us unto the Lord of your gifts tonight in this service. We certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here. Those that are streaming the services tonight, may God bless those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. I believe with all of my heart, something keeps holding me and you. Aren't you glad it's the precious Holy Ghost? Aren't you glad about it tonight, church? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him a big hand clap of praise just before we sing it tonight. Something keeps holding me every day I see, helping me faithfully overcome my trials.
Guiding me constantly.
Oh, yes, he is.
He's giving me victory.
Hallelujah. It's a reality. Something keeps holding me. Yes, something keeps holding me. Every day I see, helping me faithfully to overcome all my trials,
guiding me constantly. He gives me victory. This world, we're getting closer.
Oh, sing it to the church.
The pull I felt was more than I could bear. Oh, and when I was on the verge, I just gave. To steal away my faith.
Oh, but say it, Brother Harry.
Oh.
Troubled times. Something's holding you. It's not you holding it at all. It's holding you. Well, I think they're ready, Brother Tim. Praise the Lord. I'd sent Brother Tim a text and asked him, would you come over and preach for us? And he said he kind of noticed that us on the end of it. He said he thought, oh, he won't be there. So when I walked in the office, all I go about swallowed his tongue. I said, it's not my fault you didn't read your text. I said, us. That means me. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate our brother, don't we?
Glory to God. Let's give Jesus a hand clap tonight. It, ain't he deserves it. Praise the Lord. I tried to get Brother Donnie to speak. Man, he always pulls that over on me. It's hard to preach anyway, especially with a man like that standing behind you. I tell you, y'all got a real pastor. Yes, you do. You can be seated for a moment if you would. I'll try to sing a song that takes the edge off sometimes. Brother Justin, would you come, buddy? Amen. We had to go. I was coming, and my brother had purchased a piece of machinery on the other side of the mountain, about an hour or so. And he said, ain't you going to Johnson City? I said, yeah. He said, you think you could haul something for me back? I said, well, I can. So Brother Gene come open the door and let me in. He says, what in the world are you hauling? I said, well, if it don't go good, I'm going to dig and dig and dig. So I'll just bring my own tractor to church with me. So. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ah, oh, he's wonderful. I ain't going to play the guitar tonight. Give me G if you don't mind. I'll try to sing you a song. Tried to get the real singer to come, which is Tony, but he wouldn't. He said he had too much work to do. But I love the Lord, don't you? Amen. Amen. I like this song here. I'm going to use this mic if y'all brothers don't mind. Sing it with me because I know you know it. I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I'm amazed. But Mom said it's amazing to how God. He said it wasn't so amazing really from the trees that die, leaves that fall off, grass that turn brown, flowers about the head. He said next spring they'll come back. He said, but what's so amazing, what is a miracle, is that God can take a man and a woman that's so black within sin and wipe them clean. I mean wipe them clean. I'm amazed that he loved me. I'm amazed how he cared. Through the precious blood I found pardon. Oh, my sins are washed. They're all washed away. Oh, my sins. I sang it with me now. Oh, I'm amazed that he loved me. Oh, I'm amazed how he cares. Through the precious blood I found pardon. And all my sins are washed. They're all washed away. Sins are washed away. No one knew how alone I was feeling, and the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without him, I was covering up all the secret tears that I cried. Then one day someone told me of his mercy and the love he showed on a hill called Calvary. There he died and he purchased my salvation. When he broke sin's power, set my spirit free. Said I'm amazed how he cares. Through the precious blood I found pardon. And all my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins washed away. Listen now. Oh yes, it's true. There's been days when I failed you. Lord, you know the many times I've gone astray. Oh, but I've learned that your love is stronger than my weakness. And your ear is open every time I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. Other friends could never be as close to me. I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow. Knowing you are everything I'll ever need. I'm amazed. Oh, thank you, Lord. Pardon, and all my sins, they're all washed away. All my
sing it together. Let's give Him praise tonight. I'm amazed. Church, I am pardoned. Oh, my sins, they're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad that every sin, every stain, everything has been washed away? Not where He can dig it up and look at it and dig it up and look at it. It's gone. Now that's what I call the family of God. That's what I call the family of God. Satan can look back at her and say, well, I can remember this and I can remember this. And God says, well, I don't remember none of that. And by far, I think God has a greater memory and a mind than Satan. But God says, I choose to forget. I choose to forget what you've done. I choose to not remember that again. Stood on the bank, I love this song. Wow. Of a wide raging river, trusting that I'd get across. Well, I made my way through some valleys and deserts, believing I'd never get lost. Oh, I stood at the foot of what felt like Mount Everest, knowing I'd have the strength for the climb. Oh, that through every trial, each test and temptation, there's one thing sure every time. Listen now. Well, over and over again and again, my God is faithful. Over and over again and again, through it all, He makes me able to stand and survive, to come through alive when it sure looks like I couldn't win. Jesus is with me. I claimed the victory over and over again. Now if you ask me why, I've got no hesitation. God does what He said He will do. Well, I'd simply say every battle has taught me there's nothing He won't help me through. Why should I dwell on the hardships and struggles when I look just beyond them? I can see that the way this will end is with great celebration. Deep in my heart I believe that over and over again and again God is faithful. Again, through it all, He makes me able to stand and survive. I'll come through alive when it sure looks like I just couldn't win. Jesus is with me. I've claimed the victory over and over again. Now, if you, I love this. Why, I've got no hesitation. My God does what He said He'll do every time. Well, I'd simply say that every battle has taught me
There's nothing he won't help me through. So why should we dwell on all our hardships and our struggles? If we look just beyond them, church, you can see that the way this will end is with great celebration. Down deep in my heart, I believe. Sing it now. Over and over, again and again, God is faithful. I know over and over, hallelujah, said through it all, he makes me able. Stand and survive, I'll come through alive, when it sure looks like I just couldn't wait. But Jesus is with me, I'll claim the victory over and over. I sang it now. Said over and over, again and again, God is faithful. Think about it. Said over and over, again and again, through it all, he makes me able to stand and survive. I will come through alive when it sure looks like. Oh, my Jesus, he's with me. I'll claim the victory over and over again. Hallelujah. Not one time, not two times, not three times, but over and over and over and over. Sometimes I get sick of somebody doing that way, but not God. Someone says, well, you know, I don't like to bother God. God loves to be bothered. I don't want to bother the Lord today. He's very busy. Oh, he's big enough. He's big enough for his family. He's big enough for his family wherever they may be. So don't worry about bothering the Lord Jesus. He would love for you to ask him for something tonight. How many need something? What's that, about 7-8%? 2/3. The other third, what do y'all need? Ask him. But I might bother him. Oh, he's all right. He'll be fine. He'll be all right. Don't worry about him. He's not tired. He never sleeps. He just broods over his family. And the bride can say. And the bride can say. Do you love him? With all your heart. Give him a hand clap of praise in Jesus' name. Let me have G just before we preach. Let's sing this together if you would. Let's stand and sing it together. That'd be all right? We're gonna run the devil out of here. You say, you mean to tell me the devil's here? He got here before all of us. Just awaiting. But we're bigger than he is through Jesus Christ. Well, I was on the mountain, I was wondering from the fountain, when I heard my Savior speak to me. He said, come to me, relenting of your sins, repenting. He said, I will lead you out so you can see. All right now. Well, I'm so glad. Aren't you glad? When the love he bound me, he put them big old arms all around me. Said he led me to the shelter. In hearts are glowing. Someday, very soon, we're going to my home. Said, oh, in glory, I'm gonna walk on streets paved with gold. Said, now I will love him ever. I'm gonna stray from him, no, never. You see, he's the dearest friend, church, I've ever known. Said, when I see him yonder, my love will still go fonder in that happy home beyond the blue. Oh, said, now I'm so glad. Oh, with love he put his arms all around me. Hearts I'm going, someday I'm going to my home in glory. I'm gonna walk on streets paved with gold. There
was a man one time made a great big image of a sculpture out of a piece of rock. Our minds automatically go to Michelangelo, which was one of the greatest there was. But there was another man made a great big image out of this great big rock. I don't know the image that he had created from this rock. But as he made this great big image, it was so powerful and so mighty. As he began to make it, he chipped and chipped and chipped and chipped. I think I've got it on. It's on. He chipped and he chipped and chipped and chipped. He'd work day in and day out. Tiresome, long days. He finished this great big sculpture. This great big piece of rock that we look at it, it was just a rock. But he was able to see something within that. And he would piece away this and piece away and piece of this. And he got back and looked at it. And someone walked up and says, wow. Man, you have created one of the greatest images out of rock that I have ever seen. Said, you have created the greatest. And it's awesome. I mean, they just went on and on and on over this great image. They looked at it and admired it. And the guy dropped his head that chiseled away and chiseled away. And he says, no, I didn't create no great big image and no great big statue. Said the statue was already there. I just took the pieces away that wasn't supposed to be there. The statue was already there. He said, but I chipped and chipped and chipped and chipped the pieces that was hiding the statue. And I thought, that's what God's been doing. We've always been the family of God. But God just started chipping away one day. And he's been chipping for a long time now. And Satan says, oh, they. How can they be the family of God? He said, they've always been my family. They've always been in that image. But sin had just shelled them a little bit. This little darkness kind of covered them here. This covered them here. But they're my inheritance. They are mine. They're my family. They're my people. They're my house. And God took the big old chisel, the old hammer, and just began to chip and chip and chip. And now God stands back and says, they've always been that.
but I just kind of pulled back the pieces that wasn't supposed to be there. And now God stands back, Brother Donnie, and He admires. He stands back and admires the image that He sees. Oh, Brother Tim, you don't know what I've done. I don't matter what you've done. God stands, if He's chipped it away and chipped it away, He stands back and admires His handiwork. And He looks at you and say, that's my family. That's my house. I built them. They are mine. That's good enough to make a Baptist shout. I told the brother in the library, I said, I'm going to be a Baptist tonight. He said, there ain't no way you can be one. Nothing against Baptists. I'm just a little bit more Pentecostal than they are. But aren't you glad that you are the family of God? And all that God is and all that God was is yours. Colossians, if you have your Bible, we'll read and let you be seated. Colossians 1, verse 12. Oh, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, ain't it? Man, I don't know another place I'd rather be. All the football games is going on. And I know what none of us go to football over church. Verse 12. I'll read you one verse. I have several, but I'm going to read you just one. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. May the Lord add His blessings to the word as you're seated today. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Amen. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienating enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Amen. In the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, reprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, not wishy-washy, not tossed to and fro, but grounded, settled. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery that hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, into whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving accordingly to His working, which worketh in me mightily. That's powerful. That's just the things that Paul began to say and begin to tell us and begin to instruct us, that what God is, what God has become, what God has become in the body is so unimaginable by our human minds that it takes the very mind of the Creator to come down and dwell inside of His family in order for them to recognize who He really is. The very word, giving thanks unto the Father which had made us meet to be partakers. To be a partaker. Notice, a part as distinct from the whole. An assigned part. You and I have actually been given an assigned part. Nothing that we chose, this part, I want this part, I want this part. But God, the Creator, has actually given the family of God an assigned part. Her portion, her allotment, that God thought she would need in this journey. Now watch this. An object used in the word inheritance. An object used in casting or drawing lots. And it goes on, says, whether a pebble or a postured bit of wood and lots of several persons concerned. But it goes on and says, what is obtained by lot? An allotted portion. A portion. Now this is what's so striking to me, that God would actually come down and begin His family. God wasn't quite satisfied, so to speak, when He created angels, when He created the cherubims and the seraphims. They were created beings, but God wanted a family. God wanted a man and a woman that He has built up Himself. Not in the creative standpoint, by far as the creative being. They stood there, they worshiped Him, they cried, holy, holy, they constantly worshiped Him. But God in that still wasn't satisfied, because they could not be His family. They didn't have the ability to be His family. But God said, I want a family. I want somebody that I can leave my inheritance to. I want somebody that when my will is read, that when my will is read, that they'll know what I left them. Now, Brother Gene, I'm just going to use him. If Brother Gene, time tarries on, let's just be honest, we'll all go by the way of the grave if the Lord tarries. But we're looking for the rapture. Right? I don't want to talk negative, but let's be honest. If a person passes away, I have no right to go and be sitting at the will, the reading of the will. Nobody else. When my grandpapa passed away, and they done the reading of the will. They called the family in, the rest of the brothers and the sisters, or my grandmother's, because he had them passed away, which was everything went to her. Then when she passed away, they call in everybody. You know, the other brothers, the other sister. Then it goes down from that, Brother Donnie, to the brother's daughters and the brother's sons. So they call me and Tony, and they say, well, you know, you're in the will too. I says, well, what did I get? Well, if they gonna tell me I'm in the will, tell me what I got. So I go to the reading of the will. Me and my brother, we're sitting there, and he gets up, starts reading the will. You know, so-and-so get this, so-and-so get this, so-and-so get this. Well, you know, then people start saying, well, you know, they really don't need to get nothing, because they are not her sons. And I said, whoa, I don't care. If it's going to cause a problem, I don't really care. Because you want the good and the bad to come out of them, let somebody die. Just let somebody die. And everybody is coming out to see if they got anything. And they ain't even in the family. Several people from Anderson and from our area just won the lottery. One lady won the lottery, $200,000. A week later, a man won the lottery, $200,000. They wanted to remain anonymous. And I just don't blame them. She had family she'd never seen. She had aunts and uncles and she had children she didn't know she had. When someone passes away, they read the will, they set you down, they say, Mr. Timothy Burdett, you're getting this. The state's going to be so, nobody get this, so we're going to do this. You come up and you're getting, I think my portion was like $1,600. I said, well, you know, if you're going to give it to me, I'm going to take it. Despite what the rest of my family says, I don't care. If she gave it to me, give it to me. If she didn't give me nothing, then I don't want nothing. That's the way I look at it with God. If God gave me something, I'm His family, then I want it. Well, he shouldn't get nothing, you know. They ain't a brother or a sister. But yet I was in the offspring. Well, we don't think you need nothing. I don't care what you think. Bessie's gone. And the will says Tim gets $1,600. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to give me my $1,600 and I'm going to go cash it and I'm going home. Why do I have a right? Because she left it to me. Now in God's great, in the spiritual will of God, when God leaves you something, it's much greater and grander than that. There's no amount of money that you can put on the spiritual part that would match the natural part. It's such great and grander, it's out of our imaginable minds. Here's what's so bad in the inheritance that God gave His family. When He created angels, He said, I want more. When He created the cherubims, I want more. If He created a seraph, He said, I want more. And the inheritance part that God began to leave His family. It says, which is obtained. Oh, I like this. A portion of His ministry. God's ministry. He takes that and places in the family. He takes that and places it in the family. Now notice these things here. Let's get down to where the rubber meets the road. Now watch this. People can always see, they seem to be, they can see who God is. They seem to realize who Brother Branham is. But they just seem to can't see who they are. Now there's no mistaking I'm a Burdette. If I go anywhere in Anderson, everybody recognizes me as a Burdette. They don't recognize me as a Reagan. They don't recognize me as a Brother Gene, the Lehman. They don't recognize me as a Horn. But they recognize me as a Burdette. Why? I'm in that family. I'm going through the yard this week. Somebody said, I'll throw a church parking lot. They said, hey, you look like a Burdette. I said, it's Cordon who's wanting to know. I said, which ones you got your mind on? They said, I believe you're Tim Burdette. I said, well, I'm Tim Burdette. Because I knew this guy, see. I hadn't seen him in years, but I knew him. But he said, you look like a Burdette. I said, I am a Burdette. When he told me he's looking for Tim, I said, that's me. Now, if you've been looking for one of these other Burdettes, I said, I don't know him. Because that part of the Burdettes isn't in my family. The Lehman isn't in my family. The horn isn't in my family. But the genes of the Burdett is in my family. So I'm recognized by that. Everywhere I go, you're Burdett. You're Burdett. You're Burdett. Why? Because of the family that I'm associated with. Now that's only in the natural. So I recognize that I'm a Burdett. I recognize that I'm a Burdett. Now, God begins to take His family, His people, as He begins to build them up. I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures in a minute. But actually, God, they can't see who they are as a part of the family of God. A house that God has actually built up. A house that He has constructed Himself. He didn't hire a subcontractor to go do it. He didn't hire another person, a subcontractor, that knows a little bit and says, I want you to go here and construct me a house. But He constructed this house Himself. God don't need subcontractors. Is that right? God actually don't need subcontractors. Now notice this, let's get to something here. I don't have time to go through all of it, but this is so wonderful, so striking. I love it when people realize they're the family of God. Had a preacher ask me this week, he says, I'm doing some work on his church, and he comes up to me, you know, he's got his black shirt on and his white collar, and I knew, automatically who he was, and he comes up to me, and somebody else standing right near me, and they says, you ain't the only preacher around. I don't never tell these people that I'm a preacher. I just don't go around telling people I'm a preacher. And I dropped my hand. I said, oh, I wish you wouldn't do that. He looks at me and shakes my hand. I say, yes, sir. He says, what kind of preacher are you? I says, I'm Pentecost. He said, oh, you from them. I said, yeah. I said, what are you? He said, well, we're more close to Catholic. I said, well, that's all right. God loves y'all too. One thing leads to another, and it goes on and goes on. You can begin to see when these ministers begin to talk to you, they really don't know the Bible. They really don't understand Scripture. To be able to see that you are the family, literally the family of God, is a special thing, friends. I talk to hundreds of people yearly, and you walk away from these people, and your mind is blown by, how do they preach? What does his congregation get? They have the slightest idea of the family of God. They have no idea of anything about the Creator. Don't you see how important it is to be able to know that this great sculptor, Brother Branham called him, himself constructed a house. And the thing of it was, he wants Brother Gene to come down and appear in that house in his glory. Oh my. We must see, as it says, the hope of Christ, the glory in you. We must see who it is in us. We must see who it is, who is the family of God. And notice here. Oh my. But Bible says, now we would have to go back then to the beginning of the New Testament. He said, call the saints of the New Testament. The first opening of the New Testament was John the Baptist. And he preached the message saying only this. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So repentance would be a part of the faith that was once delivered to the saints. He says, but John spoke saying that there's coming one who will be the instructor. He said, and when Jesus came to John after his baptism, the disciples and all began to follow Jesus. And people went after Jesus. John said, I must decrease. He must increase. Jesus was the one who introduced. Why? He was the head. Brother Bram tells us that the pyramid, that we are basically the pyramid. And that pyramid is built up as this construction site is being built and built and built. But if you notice the top of the pyramid, it wasn't set down yet. No. Brother Bram tells us why that wasn't. He goes to the dollar bill looking at it and they all see an eye looking there, which we don't have time to go through. You've heard that. But notice how Brother Bram said that very top one itself is a pyramid within itself. He said, and when that fullness comes to the family, God will set that camp down on the family. That's why you've got to recognize you are the family. Well, I'm a church member. God's not coming back for church members. Well, I just attend Happy Valley. I attend Life Tabernacle. I attend Word Tabernacle. I attend. But that's not who He's coming for. You've got to recognize, and people must see, it's coming for the family. Because the character of you, the family, shows the character of God. That character shows in the family of God. And Brother Brown said, He's coming back for character. Woo. He said, He's the one that is the instructor. When you build a construction site and you build a place, you build it up, and it's sitting down to have a trailer. And in this trailer is the very one that knows all about the site. They don't go out there and ask somebody over here. Oh, they say, I want to see the one that's building this. Because the one that is constructing it is the one that knows all about it. Oh my, hallelujah. John was actually unfolding who Jesus was as the head. Not who John was, but who Jesus was. We're not the family of John. But Ram said it's not the, he said the seals wasn't, it wasn't the seal of John. He said it was the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not the revelation of John. Not the revelation of Tim. Not the revelation of this and that. But it's the revelation of Christ. Why? He was trying to reveal to us who the family was. And if we match that character, it shows who we are. I'm telling you, friends, it ain't going to be long. He's coming back to get a bride. But Abraham said, actually, He's already here. Oh, that'll knock a hole in your pot. But Abraham said, He's actually already here. He's appearing now in His glory. But where is He going to appear? In a body. In a house. In a family. Who is the family? The one that He read the will to. He told them everything He give them. He told them not want for nothing, just ask and you shall receive. He told them everything they needed to know. When you go in, the lawyers begin to read the will. The judge backs it up. So the lawyer, I get up and say, now, he left this. And the judge declares that everything stays with what the will says. I don't know if I should go on and say what I wanted to say or not. So the lawyer actually reads, he left you this, he left you this, he left you this. And the judge makes sure, the judge is the one who makes sure that the family gets what's on the paper. He has the final say so. He has the final words. And when our will has been read, can I go on and say it? Listen, friends, don't be no mistaken about it. We know that Brother Branham was actually the seventh angel. I don't want to be one of those that goes so far overboard this way and so far overboard this way. Some want to make him God, some want to make him a devil. If you say Brother Branham lied, they say you're a devil. If you say he's done this and he never made a mistake, you got those. But what people can't understand, when you and I didn't know we had anything, we thought we had something in Pentecost. Because I come up through Pentecost. My dad was a Pentecostal preacher. I ain't talking about the Pentecost of today. I'm talking Pentecost of the 60s and the early 50s. So I'm more prone to Pentecost. Not because I believe my daddy was right, but that's because I see it in the will. Someone says, oh, you preach what you preach because your daddy preached it. Or if you sit in my church long enough, instead of hop, hip hopping all around all the other churches, you know what I believe. You're not going to know what Brother Tim's believes if you're going to catch all 9 churches in Anderson. You don't even know what they believe. You got to stay long enough for the reading of the will. When we was in Pentecost, you know what we knew? We knew all we knew was to shout, speak in tongues. All we knew was to go back there and grab somebody up. We was taught that. I remember the tent meetings where they call you out and do all that. I've been called out. I've been through all of that. But we really didn't know the will. We thought the will was doing a jig. Come on. That wasn't the will. But God had a family to give it an inheritance to. Oh man, we had church tonight. We didn't even get the preacher couldn't even preach. We shouted so much and spoke in tongues. Brother Donnie, you've been in that, hadn't you? Probably some of y'all been in that. Man, the preacher couldn't preach tonight. He was, oh wow, we spoke in tongues for 3 hours. And didn't know the will. But when God sent a prophet, it's for all those that's listening on the internet who thinks I don't believe in a prophet no more. Who thinks that I don't follow the message no more. See, Brother Donnie, we had a screen put up. And behind the screen was the Hoffman head and the picture of Brother Branham. And it was hid behind the screen. So I say, well, that's doing me no good. And I didn't have a lot of place to put it. So I go on one wall and put the Hoffman head, go on another wall and put the picture of the prophet. I knew it. I knew that he really didn't believe it. I knew it. He took his picture down and I knew he really didn't believe it. That's right. I knew it. I knew it would take a few years, but I knew he really didn't believe it. If you think you believe the message because there's a picture hanging up in your church, you've got mental issues. You need to be in Bull Street, what we call Bull Street in Columbia. Well, there's a place in Columbia called Bull Street. That's for crazy people. My will didn't read for me to have a picture. And I'm not against them. I still have mine up. It's just not where they think I ought to hide it. but I'm so sorry I didn't ask them what I could do with my picture. They actually got in other ministers' churches and blasted me to hell. But I didn't care. I laughed about it. Because when that prophet read my will, I didn't know I had a will till he told me. Because all I thought I had to do was jump, shout, speak in tongues, sing four or five happy songs, get the drummer doing this and the organ doing this. And my daddy was one of the greatest organ players in the world. He played for Benny Andrews back in the old tent meetings in the early 60s. I mean, son, when Mabel cranked that organ up in the 60s on that hill right up there on Franklin Street, the whole Anderson heard that thing bouncing. But they did all of that and still didn't have the will. Oh, hallelujah. But one day, a tape come out our way. And my dad heard a portion of the will. And he just couldn't get enough of the will. And when he was new more than jumping and shouting, he said, you mean there's more than my will than this? Then he started telling people what was in their will. You've got to have the will read to see what the Father lets you. And as that prophet began to come across this nation around the world, times after time after time, reading the will of God, trying to pull people, let them know you're a family of God, not a family of this and that, of denominationalism, but a family of God, the Creator, the Instructor, the Sculptor Himself. The great masterpiece Himself was actually making another masterpiece. He read that will, and people started saying, I can see that. And he'd read more of the will. And the prophet would read it and read it. And you know what God was doing? God was actually as the judge. God had to back up everything that was in the will. Trying to get to something. Notice this. Let me read you a scripture. David caught some inspiration of this. Let me tell you something. The ministry, the portion of ministry that was into the inheritance of God, that was going to the family. Amen. You got to be there for the reading of the will. That portion of ministry that was actually going to be given to the family of God. Notice this, the ministry of Jesus did not die when Jesus went into the ground. The ministry of Jesus did not die when He went into the ground. The ministry of Jesus goes on into the book of Acts to bring forth the first reading of the will. When Peter said, those men were moved on by the Holy Ghost. David catches inspiration of this. He says, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Let me go on. Yea, the set time. Now watch the scriptures. The set time has come. All down through the Bible, we see the mystery of the lady. Moses takes a Gentile wife. Brings this Gentile woman over into the family. Of Moses. When actually it was God pulling this about. To show types and shadows down through the Old Testament. That what was going to come to pass over here. When the reading of the will. Jesus goes into the ground. It says, I will build this. In 3 days I will build it back. I'll raise it up again. But they could not catch what was going on. Several times in the scriptures, Jesus began to tell them what he was going to do, and they could not catch it. Right. Destroy this, and I'll build it in 3 days. Is that right? Because there had to be a reading of the will. God was actually bringing this about. David actually goes, takes a Gentile wife. To be his family. Joshua actually goes and takes a Gentile wife. Rahab, Ruth, a representation of the bride coming out of the Moabites. But Naomi was a type of the remnant of the Jews coming out. Oh, I wish I had time. I wish I had time to go into something right there. Naomi says, you stay here now. I'm going to go back to my homeland. You stay here. Orpha, is that her name? Says, I'm going to stay here. But see, within Ruth, she was realizing, hey, there's something to this. The Jew was actually pulling this Gentile out of Moabite, pulling her back up to the land with her. Why? The kinsman redeemer was back there. But he brings Ruth back in. He brings Ruth from a Gentile, a Moabite, and pulls this heathen girl into the family. Boaz gets them together and says, anybody takes his shoe off, steps up to the plate, and takes her, pulls her into his family. Oh, my goodness. Go preach all night and you couldn't touch that. Now the time had come for Boaz to favor this Gentile, for Joseph to favor this, and for Moses to favor. It comes all the way through the scriptures till it comes up all the way to the New Testament. God building a man. He starts out in Genesis. In the beginning, there was nothing. Then he begins to create this and create this and goes on and on and on. But he begins to want to build a person, a body, a man. He uses Jeremiah the prophet, Isaiah, all the way through Ezekiel, Jonah, all these great men of God, these prophets of sons of our times. God began to use them to absolutely begin to bring them up and bring them up and bring them up and bring them up. And he steps into the New Testament, and here comes Jesus Christ. God said, I have achieved. God says, I have achieved the man that I wanted. But then, God said, I can't stop there because he's got to have a wife. And then, in the New Testament, he comes after the reading of the will. He goes off the scene, comes back on the scene. I'm skipping a bunch and going fast so I don't... You put the pieces together. He goes off the scene, he comes back. That third day comes, here stands Jesus. The reading of the will, he says, I have done this, I have given you. Because through the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, God was constantly telling them, you have the light, you have the power, you have the anointing, you have the blessings, you have this, you have this. It's in you. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And here stood the man, Jesus Christ. God says, no, I got to have something else. And then he starts building a woman. God goes back and he looks at all these Gentiles that he allowed to come through. Ooh, hallelujah. Why? Because it had come time to favor. People actually don't realize when they come against God's people, Not only the minister. I know that's an important office. It's got to do the five folk. That's the most important. I realize that. But you, the problem I see a lot today is the ministry taking from the laity what is rightfully God-given rights to her. When people come against the lady of God, they're actually coming against God Himself. You come against Brother Donnie, you're coming against God. You come against Brother Gene, you're coming against God. You come against Brother Terry, you come against God. You come against Brother Tim, you come against God. Why? Because God incorporates within Himself and He pulls out of Himself a family and calls her by His name. Notice David here in another scripture says, "For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as a shield, with a shield. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." Notice this. "But thou, O Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me because mine enemy doth not triumph over me." David is trying to let us know who the family was. David says in another scripture, he says, I, God, he's speaking for the Lord under inspiration, "I will build her up." In other words, I will construct her. I'll construct her by the plans that I've had before the foundation of the world. I don't care what denomination has come. I don't care what message church has come and said it needs to be this way. It would be a little better if you did this wall here and this roof line like here and put this over here and paint a different color. God said that ain't the way it's going to be. He said, "I've constructed this family. I've constructed this house. It's going to stay my house." Notice here, the word righteous actually means as justified. Now listen. People think that Brother Bram was the only one vindicated. I'm not saying God has to vindicate me as a man. Oh no. I'm just a human. But I'm the family of God. God don't vindicate me as a human. But that word righteous actually means there, Sister Janet, it actually means as justified and vindicated by God. God vindicates His Word. Then if His Word is in the family, He vindicates the family who she is. Not by her mistakes, not by if she's done something wrong or things, nothing like that. Notice the time, the word favor means to pleasure, delight, favor, goodwill, acceptance. Goodwill, favor, acceptance. A desired pleasure of self-will. Give me a few minutes, I'll close. He says the very essence of the message that was sent. He's risen from the dead. He says, His beneficiaries. He hollers, "We." That ain't French. "We." Oh God. "We." He said, "We who share the resurrection." Why, His family. His house, who He built up, not built down, but built up. He said, "You share the resurrection, draw benefits from this by proving to the world that He is alive." We cannot do it by, oh, now hold your taters. You know, message people, they want all word and no spirit. For a big majority of them, not everybody. I don't want to clump us inside of that, you know. I don't want to do that. But as a lot of people want word only. Word, 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 word. And they've had so much word, it's actually killed them. Because Paul said the letter killeth. When Paul said that, Paul said, "I don't want this to stay on written paper.
I don't want this to be ink dried on paper. I want this ink to come from the pages to be the family of God. He said he's alive. He said, we cannot do it by word only. Brother Donnie, why do so many people have so big of a problem with that? I didn't say that. Brother Donnie didn't say that. The prophet did. He said, you can't do it by some tradition. We only reflect exactly what we're pointing to. He said, I'm afraid today that too many of us are not getting the people to Christ, but we're getting them to our church. The church is not the family. He called a people out of a people to make a church, but he called out of a church a people to make himself a bride. Friends, Brother Branham told us that. He told us that that's the family of God, not the church. The people he took out. He said, I'm afraid we'll get them to a church, to a theory. He said, but you have to get them to Christ. He said, he's the only one. He's the one that has life. He is the Son. He has life. And if that life of a man that's dead to be projected in you, you will live the same as he lived. If the blood of a man who was a certain type, you could take that blood from one man, change the blood of that man into another. He'd absolutely be that type blood. If your spirit that's in you is reckoned dead, you are anointed with the life of Christ in you. Romans 8:11 said, if the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it'll also quicken your mortal bodies. That same life, that same power, that same beneficiaries that he had here on earth from God, he has redeemed you. That seed that was foreknown by God. I preached on that message here about 3 years ago, called the offspring of God. When that gene come out of God and dropped down into that bride. That happened before in the thought process of God. He said that seed that was foreknown by God, whose names are put in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, and that gospel light of the resurrection, the confirmation of the Word. Oh, glory to God. If the people could see that they're the real family of God and they live by the Word. Not live by creeds. Not live by man's theology. Not live by intellectualism. But live by the Word. Then if the Roman says if that Spirit dwells in you, then does not that make you a part of the family of God? But Satan will tell you every day you're not the family of God. You're not this family. You know, you made a mistake the other day. You're proving you ain't the family of God. You tell that old devil he's a liar. The very thing he wants to do is cause God's people to trip. Because he knows there's some, if he can get them to trip one time, they think it's all over. They might as well go back out in the world. They might as well get rid of all the tapes and all the books and quit following the messenger, forget it all. You do that, you prove you wasn't the family of God. But if you'll get up, if you'll get up like God built you up to begin with, you prove very well you are part of the family of Almighty God, the creator of the world. Thou shalt arise now, mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time has come, for thy servants take pleasure in her stones. Favor her, the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth of the glory. When the Lord shall build her up, he shall appear in his glory. He's not going to appear in our glory, but he's going to appear in his glory in the house that he built up. He'll appear. Notice, proving that. Now listen closely in closing. Proving that. I'm asking you, where's he at? Where's he at today?
Right here.
he actually at? Do you realize, Happy Valley, when you look at each other that's the family of God, do you realize what you're looking at? Do you realize when you look at each other who you're actually looking at? David said, when the Lord shall build up Zion, the house, the construction of the lady, the construction of the woman that he's building up to bring her into a lady. She's not just a woman. She's not just a girl. She's a lady. I could preach all night. When the Lord shall build up, he shall appear in his glory. The Lord shall build up. That actually means the same thing. And listen closely. That actually means the same thing. When the Lord shall build up, he shall appear in his glory. Actually means it transfers into to be established and to continue the ministry of God. To establish and to continue. Why? Because he's favored her. And the very word glory transfers into, listen, to abundance, into his splendor, to make honorable or to glorify. Not glorify this. When you get to glorifying this, you've done messed up. When you get to glorifying William Branham, the flesh of William Branham, you've done messed up. That's where so many people's made their mistakes. They glorified Brother Branham because it was so much done by God in Brother Branham. God used that man so miraculously. I mean, around the world. No wonder they actually thought he was God. I told my church, I try not to condemn people for having the buses and all that stuff, you know. Oh, he's God, he's this. I try not because I wasn't there to see it. But they seen the dead raised. Listen to Brother Brown the other day. Brother Brown was talking about when he was over in Finland, you know, bringing that story about. And they was calling, trying to get, one boy was raised up, the little boy was raised up. And Brother Brown said, you know, the other family says, oh, mine's in the hospital. Said, would you go and play for him? I know he'll raise up. Brother Bam said, I can't. He says, they said, you're the healer. You did that. That boy, Brother Bam says, they don't listen. Brother Bam said, I didn't do that. All that was God appearing in his glory. God had actually condescended down in his glory in that prophet. We're not prophets. I don't want to be a prophet. I don't desire to be a prophet. I don't want that office that God give him. But I do desire to be what God said I would be. If he appeared down and condescended down into his glory in that little fleshly body, you tell me why he hasn't come. You tell me if they believe that's the only one he appeared in, then where they have missed the mark. Because our prophet, the same one they say they believe, is the very one that said he has appeared. And the Bible, David picks it up through many scriptures and says he has appeared in his glory in the bride. God calls her the family of God. God actually calls her the family of God, his house. It's not hard for me to see God condescend down and stand in the prophet and stand on the pulpit and call them out like that. It's not hard for me to see line after line people come by and Brother Bam just sat there and pray and says, now sister, I heard him the other day, he said, don't be afraid. What you feel now, that's that angel of the Lord. Brother Bam says, you're frightened. Now, don't do that. He said, he's standing right here. And he'll reach over, go be made well. And then that light appeared over the church somewhere and he'll say, there it is! Rise up! Oh, I see it over here. What was that, friends? None other than God. condescending down and appearing in His glory. I don't want to be Brother Branham. Just to be flat honest with you, I didn't want to be a preacher. I bet Brother Donnie ain't going to remember this, but before I started preaching, I come up here many times, probably every other week I was up here because we didn't have a pastor. And then I'd found some land to move here because this is where I wanted to be. Brother Donnie took me in his office one Sunday. He said, "Whatever you do, don't move here." You remember that? You don't. Now, some people have got mad at him. "Oh, bless God, I won't ever be back up here again. He don't want me anyway." But see, I knew he didn't mean the way that sounds. I didn't even know him good. Just spoke to him just a couple of times. But I knew he didn't mean that way. "I don't want you up here." No, he didn't mean that. It wasn't just a few short months. Brother Darrell Ward's preaching in my church. Hadn't had a pastor in 8 years. 6 years. He said, "I don't know what you people are fretting for." He said, "You've got pastor out of pastor out of pastor through here, Brother Amos." He said, "You've got them on. They stay and go, stay and go, stay and go." He said, "But your pastor's sitting right here among you and you can't even see it." He said, "He's sitting right here among you and you don't even realize it." 3 solid years, I run the other way. 3 more years, Sister Janet, I run the other way. Because I wanted to come here and he wouldn't let me. If I'd known what I know now, I wouldn't have paid him no attention to come anyway. You know how many people, Brother Donnie, would get mad at you for that? But see, I didn't take it the way most people probably take it. My wife says, "He told you not to come here." I said, "Yeah." She said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I'm going to keep coming." From 1993, I started coming at the first of 93, the end of 92, and I came up here to 98 a lot. And then I started, 97. I started preaching in 97. I told the wife all day, I said, "Don't you wish we'd have bought that land in Johnson City now?" But see, the thing of it is, we can't see the future, as God knows. Because God knew that. I've had so many preachers tell me, "So there's nobody can keep this church like you." Not because he's your daddy. He said, "But there's nobody has that spirit that can do it because says you're born for this." 3 years, Gene, I run and run and run and run. Kept coming up here. See, God said, "I got some family down there. And they need somebody. Oh, Lord, can't you send somebody else?" Don't take me wrong. Hey, I live to preach. I love it. Because I want to help people. Not because I want to be seen. I don't love it in that way. Don't take me wrong. I'd rather be in a church supporting a good pastor any day of the week. The word pleasure means to accept, to be pleased. In her stones, precious stones. Notice this means to rebuild, to establish, to cause, to continue. And I love this right here. When David catches all this and begins to unfold it under inspiration, David said he actually wants, this is what David says, he actually wants to establish his family.
Amen. Right. Yes, sir.
And he says it again like this. To be established, to be rebuilt, means to restore, come up. And it, I love this. It says to make permanent. To make permanent. In other words, God, you're stuck with me. To make permanent. Oh, don't you love him? There's no way to finish it all. The construction of the bride. Don't miss it, friends. The Bible says when Solomon actually began to build the temple, and he began to complete the construction of this house of God, said the power of God just come down so miraculously through it. Says they couldn't even minister of the power and the anointing of God. When God began to come into his house, his glory, it was so wonderful. Friends, we serve a big God. Not only is he a big God, he's a real God. Oh, hallelujah. Solomon finished the temple, and the glory of the Lord descended so strong, the priest could not even minister the glory of God. Oh, my. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Where most people stop. I got in trouble because I used the word the fourth work of grace. When Brother Brown said three works of grace. But I said, don't ever forget, justification made way for sanctification. Sanctification made way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost made way for the life himself. Notice now. And I use the terminology of God's fourth work of grace. People got mad and quit me. Said what I was preaching come from hell. I said, your own prophet said it. Don't claim to believe a prophet and say you believe that and don't abide by it. Justification? Sanctification. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Rabbi said it was the Holy Ghost himself, which is the life. He takes his literal life. Puts it in his family. He opens his great will and he reads his will and says, Terry, you're this. I give you this. Go and do this. Ask anything you need. Cast out devils. Pray for the sick. See, people don't even believe in praying. They don't even believe in praying for the sick no more. I believe in whatever works, works. I had a prayer line lay hands on sickness. I said, well, you know, Brother Bram said that was a Methodist thing. Said, we don't need to be doing that. Said, we should be healed by the word. I don't have a problem being healed by the word while I'm preaching. Brother Bram also says that while I'm preaching, said you be thinking that you're going to be healed while I'm preaching. But then out of that, you go have a prayer line and lay hands on sick. Some people need a prayer line. Some people can be healed sitting in the pew. I'm not against either one of them. If you can be healed sitting there, more power to you. But if you need to come up here and have somebody lay hands on you, do that. Whatever it takes. Don't throw this away and keep this and throw this away. You keep it all. It's all God's Word. God wants what's good for His family. He don't want what I want for His family. He wants what He wants. It was in His mind, His thoughts. And the church can say, let's stand together and give Him a hand clap of praise. Oh, don't you love Him? Ain't He wonderful? God's good, ain't He, friends? I told my church the other day, I was speaking on some of these things. I've been preaching on family of God for about 2 months now. And I've been, been taking different ways and different thoughts like that. I said, when I brought forth my son Justin, that gene was in me. Even when I was in the mind of God, it was there. I says, but I was able, and a union to bring my son, Stephen and Justin, on the earth. I said, but here's the other thing. I've got a grandbaby called Madison. I got a nudding to be here in December. And I got a nudding to be here in the first week of January. I says, all three of them grandbabies was in me. They're my family. And they ain't nothing in the world can change that. I couldn't bring Madison forth. I couldn't bring Payson forth. I couldn't bring Sailor forth. But I could bring Justin and Stephen forth, and they could have a union that could bring Madison forth and Payson and Sailor. God takes one from way over here in the town of Tennessee, state of Tennessee, one from way up here in Oregon somewhere, brings them together, brings a union to bring one forth.
Right.
Says you're going to have blue eyes, blonde hair, you're going to be this, you're going to be this. Why? It was in the thought process of God.
Amen.
Ain't nobody can change it. It's amazing how God brings this and forth and brings this and forth and brings this and forth all over the world to be His family. Be His family. I think I told y'all the story several years ago about the family that was down in Florida. You remember that? Some of you remember that. Where the picture was took and they were standing in the picture. You remember that, sister? They were standing in the picture and somebody took the picture and there was a little girl or a little boy behind them playing and he just got in the picture. When the picture was snapped of this family of four, there was another family just walking by. 20-something years later, the girl that they took the picture of, that little girl, and the boy that was walking by got married. When this happened, they was going through old photos, and the woman picked this photo. She said, look at these pictures. And she looked in the picture, and walking through the picture, Brother Harry, was the man she married when he was a little boy, and she was a little girl, and her family took the picture of her. Now, that's what happened in the natural, of course. How much more did it happen in the spiritual? It wasn't 20-something years later that I come forth. God said in His mind, way back yonder before the world was ever begun, He said, Timothy Burdett, He'll come up on the earth one day. It ain't, listen, church, it ain't no difference when Isaiah said, behold, a virgin shall conceive. It ain't no difference. Brother Ram said that word circled 700, 800 years, whatever it was. And all of a sudden, here stood Mary. Gabriel goes by and says, thou highly favored before God. Why? It was God's family. Same thing happened to you and I. You were highly favored. God said, David said, he had pleasure in your stones to rebuild, to establish, to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Friends, listen, you believe that, there ain't a devil in hell that could change a real believer from that. Change a real believer from believing that. If you believe you're the family of God, there ain't nothing can take it out of you. You say, well, he tricks me and does this to me and tells me all kinds of things. It don't matter what he tells you. Go back to your will. Go back to your will and read the will. Read the inheritance that these great prophets of old that was moved on by the Holy Ghost. And we know the Holy Ghost was the life Himself. That these prophets of old were moved on by the life giver Himself. And they spoke inheritance to you. An inheritance this way and an inheritance. Said you'll be partakers here. You'll be a partaker here. You'll inherit this. You'll inherit this. Because God said you're my family. You're my family. Heavenly Father, Lord, we could speak and preach all night, God. Lord, but the word that's come forth, Lord, if we could just believe it. Oh, Father, may God you help us, Lord. May, Lord, as we leave this building tonight, that the power, the Holy Ghost, Lord, would just settle down in our souls and hearts, Lord, as you've injected that word into your body. Father, may they realize they're the family. Maybe, Lord, there's someone here that wasn't quite sure, but Lord, may before they leave tonight, they realize they're the family of God. That's what it's about, Lord. May you bless and heal and anoint each one that's here, God, for your service. May the power and the Spirit of the Holy Spirit of God
come down, Lord, and settle down each one of them, Lord. Whatever they have need of. Lord, whatever they need in their life, Father, whether it's sickness and they need healing or whatever it is, financial problems, God, they can accept it and believe it and confess it right in their seats, God, because they're the family of God. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, Lord. Lord, thank you for bringing us to this place. Lord, thank you for the reading of the will. Lord, we've all heard the story that prophet told. How that little woman was going down the street. The soldiers asked her where she was going. And she says, I've had a death and I'm going to for the reading of the will. We've heard that, Lord. God, but I pray it hasn't got so old to us. And the soldier seen her as she was coming back through the little town. And he asked her the question. Says, well, what did he leave you? She said, he left me everything. Oh, God, what a revelation that is. You didn't leave me one thing. You left me everything. You left your family everything that you are. And you put it in them. Brother said, everything we need is inside of us now, even the rapture. Oh, Lord, we ask, God, that you would keep us by thy word as you build up this great house. Lord, to appear in your glory, Lord. May, Lord, we find favor with you, oh, Father. Lord, we love you tonight. We're so thankful, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, the word, the grace, and the mercy of our Lord Jesus. Lord, there's... Brother Bram says our minds can't even fathom the power of God. Paul said it's so great and so far out there. Our human minds can't even understand it. But God, help us tonight to understand a little bit more, Lord. May every person in the sound of my voice tonight, God, may they go forth, Lord, claiming to be that family. May they've heard portions of their will tonight read to them. May they accept it, Father. Grant it, Lord, we pray. In thy blessed, precious name. And the bride can say,
amen.
To be like Jesus. Oh, to be like Jesus. On earth I long. Oh, don't you long for that? To be like him all through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask, oh, to be like.
All of us just lift our hands now and sing it to him.
I wanna be like Jesus. Oh, just to be like my Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, earth I long. Just to be like Him. From earth to glory, I only ask to be.
Oh, one more time now. As I turn it back over to Brother Donnie, believe it with all your heart.
I'm gonna be like Jesus. I know I'll be like Jesus.
Oh, sing it, little bride. Sing it, family.
Earth, I long. On earth, I long to be that. Just to be like him. Oh.
brother. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, let me be like you. Sing it again. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be, yes, Lord, on this earth, my Lord. Father God, to be like me. Praise the Lord. Enjoy the word tonight. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's always so good to hear our will read. Some preachers read from the first part of the book. Some preachers jump over to the end of the book. Some preachers actually jump over and actually read from the maps because they help you see where you are and where you're going. Some preachers will preach from the concordance side or the subject index side. Some will go from the dictionary perspective to explain to you the meanings of those fancy words. But no matter how they approach it, if they're led of God, you'll be benefited. Amen. Thank you, Betty. Appreciate it. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I run him off. He'd probably still be sitting here, wouldn't he? Screaming and hollering, singing, picking his guitar, and God said, that ain't what I want you to do, boy. Get over and pastor that church. Amen. God bless you, Brother Tim. Certainly love you, Betty. Amen. God bless you, saints. Service in the morning, Lord willing, at 11 o'clock. Somehow or another, I'll follow that. So you pray for me. Amen. God's mindful of us, though. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much tonight for your word. Thank you for our brother coming, Lord, and being with us tonight. And thank you for your precious words. Lord Jesus, to give us a little more insight of who we are and our position. We know you're so determined that we will see. I thank you for it, Lord. Pray that you bless our brother, strengthen him, Lord. He goes back home tonight and service at home tomorrow. May you strengthen him and be with him, dear God. We appreciate him. We love him here, Father. We thank you for every true man of God that you have. We want you to know that we are grateful. Go with your children now, Father. Bless them, rest them, bring us back in the morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing that song they were singing a while ago. I'm so glad he found me. Amen. You can go in the fear of God. Been good to be in the house of the Lord, ain't it? Amen. So good to be in the house of God. Oh, I'm so glad you found me. Found me. Put his arm all around me. Then he lived. One of his own, and oh, the joy of knowing with hearts of glory. Glory. God bless you, saints, go in the fear of God. To my